Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. What a beautiful day here in Southern California. We got no clouds. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, but my God, you wouldn't know. So today we're going to talk about this new Chinese social credit system, social rating system, because it is sort of scary. We live in a world now where trends are the way that people find their value, and they find it really quickly, right? We've always had trends, but now it's out of control. And, you know, trends really are sort of the poor man's idea of being cool. You know, they can't think of anything of their own, so they trend. They go, who is everybody else doing? And then they run off and copy someone else. And you become a complete fucking tool really quickly. And the funny thing is that you have individuals that will group together because they're so undereducated, non-creative, living in their cell phones, doing all this other crap, that they just sort of like all the losers get together. Okay. You know, it's almost like watching the Titanic sink and then you're on a different ship and you got a bunch of lifesavers and life vests and floaty things. And you're like, okay, let's get them out of the ocean. Holy crap. You know, we don't want anyone to have any fatalities or harm. But the reason why I'm going off on that just a little bit right here at the beginning of a social rating system is that that is the group of people that are going to fuck all of us with this social rating system. They're just people who hang on to the tail in front of them. And the problem is if you allow those individuals to make up your society as a whole, and all societies have a lot of these people, then your society collapses because those individuals have really no knowledge of how to exist because all they do is copy the person in front of them. Well, eventually, they demonize the person in front of them because that's the leader. And they don't get along with leaders. They get along with followers. And so they kill off the brain, nervous system of their very existence and ecosystem, therefore losing all of the talents of how to do something. And I'm afraid that China, who is pushing this bullshit on their people, and I do not approve of it because China is a communistic regime, it is a dictatorship, and they're already using this rating system to silence their dissenters. So we're back to Mao Zedong bullshit, where they're killing off all the intellectuals in the entire country, which stunts the entire country. That's what Mao Zedong did. He became the dictator, the single leader that was okay to follow. And he, you know, again, he had the landlords murdered, and then he had the intellectuals murdered. Pol Pot had everybody cut down that had glasses. I mean, you got, this has been a huge trend in history. Kill off anyone who could descend against you. Kill anyone that says you don't have any clothes on. And then you get to do all this weird stuff. But now the social rating system is, you know, officially on the books, it's only happening in China. Unofficially, the globalists are trying to push it into the minds of all of our kids. They're trying to sell it as some Robin Hood formula of like, don't you want everyone to be nice? What if we just kept track of who's nice and who's bad? And you know, the idiots are like, yeah, that sounds great. I mean, kids, you can't blame them because they don't know anything better. But an adult should be able to look at this and go, oh, right. And when that journalist reports against the government because the government is screwing the citizens, what happens to that person's rating? It'll be interesting to see if the Chinese ever wake up to the point where they actually rate someone up for reporting corruption in the government, thus giving them more privileges instead of less privileges, because right now, there's a guy in house arrest over there. There's probably thousands of people in this situation, but there's a guy over there that reported on bribery. Bribery is one of the worst problems inside the country of China, and it's probably a situation all over the United States. We see all these you know, Smollett fuckheads, get off, right? You know, they literally arrange two guys to beat him up and yell a bunch of racist stuff. They drag all these cops into this search for these two white guys with MAGA hats on. Turns out it's two, like, gigantic Jamaican dudes that beat him up. And when they have all the proof of the fact that Smollett did this, this George Soros chick lets him off. And everyone just sort of wipes their hands. I mean, I hope that they can go back and nail this guy hugely. Nail everybody involved with that. So we got issues all over the place. But now imagine that sort of pay-to-play mentality that we're too rich to fail, right? We're too powerful to ever have to follow the rules bullshit. Is then self-controlled by the rating system. This is literally one of the most incredible pornographic wet dreams of the globalists to have social rating dominate the world. It is going to be literally the bane and the single thing that we need to fight the most in this world. At least the way that it is being implemented. And I don't think there's any way that you can implement technology to enforce privilege that can't be corrupted by the few. Ever. It just will not be possible. If we can create an AI that we could seriously, you know, just surrender the whole world to, and the AI is good and it's got all this stuff, I mean, Jesus, how many thousands of years away were we from that, right? In case you've been under a rock and you haven't been paying attention, and the whole time you're going, what the hell is this guy talking about? I mean, it sounds interesting, but I have no idea what he's talking about. Here's what I'm talking about. This was portrayed in a Black Mirror because they simply read the press. And it's been portrayed in an Orwell episode. But it's a new application on your cell phone. It's also physical people on the ground. And it's also a cloud computer system owned by the Chinese government. But what they're doing is ranking individual behavior either up or down. And based on you getting an up vote, you get privileges. Too many downs, you have all your privileges taken away. What do I mean by privileges? I mean, you can't travel outside your town, your block, your neighborhood, your country. You can't travel on a subway. You can't buy a plane ticket. You can't get a rental car. You can't buy certain food. Well, what could justify this negative thing? You buy too much alcohol at once. Well, now, how do you throw a party at your house without buying alcohol, if that's what kind of party you're having? Just even an intellectual party. You buy, you know, all the mixer stuff, all the core drinks. How do you do that? But there was a documentary that someone posted on our page. I think it might have been Tim on our Facebook page, which is locked. Go to deepthoughtsradio.com to get in there. Just make sure you answer the question. Say something human. Otherwise, you're banned for life. No exceptions. But it was a three-part documentary. There was the first group was a woman who works for the state, and she is all for the social rating system. Social credit system. I gotta keep saying credit here. Then the second guy is a dude in house arrest because he's a journalist who has a history of exposing bribery in the country. And for those of you who haven't done business with China, or in China, you have to understand that bribery in China is the most unbelievably bold-faced thing that they require that you do in order to get anything done. I mean, it is absolutely a mainstay. You want to open a company there, you want to get them to manufacture something, someone is bribing someone to get this stuff to go through. All permits are absolute bribery first, then official cost second. It's just the way it is, and everybody agrees to it. And instead of just formalizing some sort of payment system, you know, that's above board, it's like, okay, this isn't really bribery anymore, but we just require that you pay me for my time to listen to your bullshit, and then I'll get you whatever permit you have, and that's another charge. I'm just a consultant to get you that thing. It's all bribery. I mean, it would be like the United States, where all the mobsters used to pay off the judges and have all the jurors scared to death. It's just like that in China constantly. Very, very, very corrupt, right? And so this is the group of people building this system, just so we're clear about this. The criminals are building the system. So the second guy was this journalist who's now under house arrest, which in China basically means that you can move around in a really small area. It almost looks like he gets about a city block that he can move around in. He lives in sort of a, looks like he lives in a high rise of some sort. And then the third guy is actually very surprising to me, which I didn't realize there's a huge Turkish community in Western China. And he's of Turkish descent, lived in the city that was actually ransacked by the system. And there was a bunch of prejudice and repression and just absolutely draconian racist stuff going on. And we'll defend that in China's position in a second on that. He moved out of the country before this thing really started to have a long-term effect on he and his family. Now, before we jump into the specifics of this documentary, which is sort of going to be the framework of this episode, I need you to understand that it's starting to happen here in the United States of America. Wikipedia has some paragraphs about how it's spreading in Germany and Spain and England and a few other places, so definitely go up there and take a look, because honestly, out of all the agendas in the world, this is one of the top brand new agendas that is going to threaten the very safety of freedom on this planet, because it is going to disguise itself just like Christianity did, right? Rome was about to fall because Rome didn't have enough military centuries to put into every town to extort taxes and beat the shit out of local citizens. And so they resurrected this old archetype of the virgin birth, death and resurrection story, called it Jesus, and then had Jesus say in the Bible, give unto Caesar, you know, give unto Rome what is due Rome, or give unto Caesar what is due Caesar, all that kind of shit. And so they tried to convince, you know, Europe that they should tax themselves and send the money to Rome without centuries being present. When they didn't want to do that, they gathered up a ton of cash that they were collecting from local regions and then paid for mercenaries to go out there and start the Inquisitions for 900 fucking years, forcing this religion into people's minds so that they did. It's almost 1,000 years, people. Think about it. America's not even remotely 900 years old. And if you think of 1776, God, we're nothing. This Inquisition went on for 900 years because the church knew they were full of shit. They made all this crap up, and they just repressed Europe into giving Rome all that money. You wonder why they can launder pedophiles forever? You paid for it, Rome. I mean, you paid for it, Europe. You paid for the whole thing. My relatives paid for it. You know, Italy, it's on your soil. Meet your God with a clear conscience. Get rid of that place. Clock's a ticking. So this social rating system is a way to smuggle in globalist Big Brother control as a thing that the people want. Because they found this little nook and cranny about how we actually behave in the public without this system. And they are using it as the sheep's clothing around the wolf. Now, the first woman they talked to in this documentary, which I don't know if it's a Vice documentary. Just go to our Facebook and you can scroll down a little bit and you'll find it. Was the woman that works for the country, and she is just loves it, man. She is, but she's also just sitting there. You could just see the tenseness in her body as she is trying to make sure she says all the right things so that she doesn't go to jail that night. I mean, it's already, you could just, if you have any ability to read a human reactions, she's got it. She's living in a prison planet, convincing herself that she is free. But what she says at the very beginning is going to be the line you're going to hear as they try to smuggle this shit into our country, every country. She says, look, society has used a social rating system / credit system. The fact that it's been called a credit system, I think is hilarious. But we've been doing this ever since man existed. We find out that guy's a jerk, that girl's a whatever, and then we don't associate with those people until they clean up their act. Okay. At face value, you're like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. But at the same time, what's interesting about it is that is what we've been doing, and it's been working great. So we don't need to digitize the whole experience. But in that social system that she is referring to prior to the digitization of the whole event, we choose the rules. We choose how intense the punishment is. Not a couple assholes at the top who say, in order to protect my corruption, my lifelong presidency, my lifelong, government participation in utter bribery. Right? Bribery is bad because you're not just paying for legitimate services with bribery. You can pay for illegitimate services for bribery. Hey, I want those kids' kidneys. Well, you mind if I kill him and take his kidneys? Well, of course not. That's a kid. Well, here's a bribe. Oh, well, yeah, there he is right there. Go kill him. That's how bad bribes get. Once you sell out for money, and unfortunately the Asian community prioritizes money over love, it's crazy. Once an Asian community comes over here and lives and breathes, they start to switch. They start to switch the American way or the European way or the rest of the world way. I don't know what it is, but they eventually get to a point where it's just, I love you, Dad. Me too, da-da-da. But I've got too many friends over here who are first generation, and they literally live in that bubble where in order to impress their parents, it's money, 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 money. So once you live for money, bribes can buy anything, right? Sad but true. And I just got the balls to say it. So go ahead and shame me. See if I give a fuck. But that's okay. That's how their culture built up. It's a completely overpopulated country at 1.4 billion. So they've got problems that we don't have over there. So this woman, I think, is looking at it, and the government's looking at it, the kids are looking at it, everybody who's sort of has good intentions with the system, and they're saying, look, we got 1.4 billion people. It's hard to keep track of everybody. And so we need a system to keep everybody in check, otherwise we'll devolve back down to caveman era because we can't control everybody. Now what you have to understand too is it's not just an app on your phone. China has over 200 million cameras installed in China. And these cameras have all kinds of facial recognition, body recognition, chip recognition. They'll identify your phone using GPS. So if they can't figure out who your face is, but you're carrying a phone, and it says this phone's owned by whatever, and he's a 5'8" male Chinese man who's got, you know, general type of build, and it's being held by a guy that looks like that, they'll just immediately say, we think he's here. But if it's held by a little girl because, dad loaned his phone to his daughter, it'll start trying to reconcile family members and all kinds of wild stuff. It's going to get intense, but it's already intense over there. Once a system like this gets in place and turns on, and all other e-commerce and government services are attached to the backbone, the cloud backbone, the database. It's basically just a database on a computer that you don't own. That's what we call a cloud. You won't be able to buy a ticket to on a bullet train, a cab. You won't be able to get a hotel. You won't be able to check into a restaurant or whatever, because all of these systems will have to do a check first to see if they can sell you the bills, the goods and services off the global database. If that database were to go down, the internet has a little burp, no one will be able to do anything besides perhaps do it cash. But then if there's a bunch of laws that say if you serve someone with a low credit, you're going to jail, then no one can eat in the neighborhood because the restaurant doesn't want to take the risk that someone is smuggling a bad credit system with a fake app that might just have, like, you know, 750 on it, and they're really at like 540. Now, the credit system is interesting. They do an 800-point credit system in most of China. But later we're going to talk about what they're doing in Western China, because what they're doing there is wild. And I recorded this entire episode, and then I met a contact here locally that has spent a year over there, and he's filled me on some different things. And so I decided to re-record this. But China has issues that no one knows about. Let's dismiss a few myths that I've had dismissed to me. number one myth is that China has ever had a single-born or, you know, single-child policy. That is the line of bullshit they told the rest of the world. How the hell do you think they put another half a billion people in their population after telling us they had a limit? One-child policy means you are reducing your world population. They have done nothing more than increase the world population, thus burdening the planet with their existence. Not being responsible. I talked to my friends from China, and they said, look, nobody has that limitation on their family. They said the only people that have that limitation are government workers, which there are a lot. They said, if you have a second child, you pay about $150 fine, and then you're fine. We take our kids and smuggle them around to the grandparents so that no one knows the kid even exists until they get older. But there's no penalties. There's never been a limit to the amount of people that you can have in China. All these stories about taking girls out and slaughtering them, it's all bullshit for the Western world to believe. Again, they're at 1.4. Wasn't it yesterday they were at 1.1? There's a lot of talk, you know, that they're moving to a more, you know, a free market system, which is fantastic, a more capitalistic government, which is, again, capitalism is, you have an idea for a business, but you don't have the money. So someone capitalizes your company and your idea. In exchange, they get a share of your company. That's all capitalism is. What are you going to do? You don't have the money to do it? So nut up and save up if you hate capitalism. Because that's the only way you're going to start your business. But if you need $10 million and you're just some 14-year-old kid in the Midwest and you know that there's someone else is going to figure out your idea in 5 years, you better borrow money or you're never going to have the opportunity to do anything. It's just the way the world works. And then when you sacrifice a few of your good ideas and you give up some shares, maybe even 50%, maybe even more than that, but you make a few million bucks, then you boil that five, you know, that couple million bucks to 5 to 10, then you're the old guy investing in new ideas. If you want to be big and moral and all this other stuff, then fine, give away more of your money. Doesn't matter. The air in Shanghai is so bad, and the construction is generally so bad, that the individual I talked to said that even though you're inside buildings, they're not sealed from the outside very well. So he said he woke up in his apartment, which was a fairly nice apartment, which had an exterior window inside of his interior walls. I think it's great. So between two bedrooms, they had an external window inside. I think I mentioned that in a previous episode. But he said he woke up and he couldn't breathe because the air was so bad. And he's inside his place. He said he had to get his emergency oxygen mask and attach it to his face for 5 hours just to feel normal. So that's our big eco-friendly partner named China, which is supposedly... I think they're number one in world pollution, and the United States is supposed to be number two, which is a joke, because there's no place in America where you need an oxygen mask to survive. I heard Tokyo's cleaning up too, but they had that oxygen mask thing as well. The other big one is that they have beggar pimps. So most major cities have thousands and thousands of beggars, which is kind of strange, because again, I just said in the previous episode that there aren't... homeless Asian people here in America at all. We seem to be getting the good batch that wants to work and have wonderful things, and we welcome them. You're just like how a pimp runs prostitution. These beggars have to take their money, bring it to their overlord. The overlord lives in a beautiful multi-million-dollar condo, and it's just known that this is the way it works. And so it makes the city look like crap because you have a bunch of homeless people out there. This socialistic world that's supposed to be like this communistic socialistic system where poverty and begging shouldn't be possible, because you give all your money to the state and they give you a home, they give you a job if that's what you need, and you should be okay. So I don't know how beggars exist, but they do, and they don't tell you that at all. But yeah, the construction techniques are inferior to a point of absolute danger. Australia is finding out that as they are using this exact labor force to build skyscrapers, they built this really plush, famous skyscraper. I forget the name of it. I don't know if it's in Melbourne or Sydney. I think it's in Melbourne. But they pumped this bun building up as this big luxury place built by overseas workers, right? sold it to overseas folks. So it's pretty much like a full-on Chinese building. They built it and they rent it, and now they're finding out the thing is falling apart. And when they start pulling away some of the sheetrock, they're finding out that ceiling joints don't even connect. There's no true firewall system in the building. And the place is just waiting to catch on fire and kill everybody inside. So those are some standards. So the reason why I mention all this is the civilization that is putting the social credit system on top of their people. So there probably is a positive and there's a negative going on. The positive is that maybe they need it. Maybe they need this sort of draconian control because for whatever reason they can't behave without it. Maybe. I don't know. The other side is that these are the folks that are actually allowing it to occur. So they're allowing this horrible, I mean, we're talking 1984 shit here, to spread on planet Earth. It would be as if the Earth was an organism and all human life is part of this organism. We have a deadly virus starting in China with this social rating system, social credit system. And that virus needs to be extinguished, or it needs to be quarantined. Go ahead and do it. It ain't coming over here. Where there is a constitution, where there the word socialism and communism is a dirty word, that is our immune system against ever taking that on. But this stuff is being smuggled into all of our countries. What's kicking off the re-recording of this episode is a friend of mine just brought to my attention an article that is talking about how doctors in America prepare for the Robin Hood formula. I'm going to sell you something that sounds good, but if you think about it turning into this social credit system, it's super bad. Now we have Yelp in America. I assume it's in Europe. It's where you rate restaurants. It's a little app on your phone. You know, there's 1 through 5 stars. Somehow people are having 1-star experiences at restaurants. I don't know how the hell would they fucking dump a bucket of shit on you and set you on fire. I mean, how do you have a 1-star experience? I mean, it would just literally be the most horrific, terrifying, sickening thing. I mean, if you went home with some food poisoning, you can hand out a 1-star. But we got people who are like either 5 or 1. It's not reality, folks. So you have this new system that's going to start rating professions in the United States of America. And one of the very first ones they're going to put on the Barbie are professors at colleges. Students are going to be able to rate their professors. Now, you might think right off the bat, I literally did this in college when I took computer courses in De Anza. I had this teacher who was fantastic. I took 2 courses from him. I think I just mentioned this on an academic level. But the third guy I took was trying to assert, he had a big ego, and so he was trying to say how amazing he was, and he was teaching crap that was 10 years old in 1991. I'm spending my entire day doing this professionally. I'm on my second accredited multi-million-dollar product. And so I'm in the classroom just being nice and going, hey, you know, it's interesting, that's cool, but you know what we do today in Microsoft Windows, we do this, in the Mac, we do that. And this guy would just, his ego couldn't listen to it. So he was like, no, they don't. No, that's wrong. Or he'd say that's wrong, and he wouldn't say anything that was right. Just being an asshole. Well, unfortunately for that second guy, his 10-year review came up and the students had to write an essay and answer a bunch of questions about the guy, and I just was very honest in my essay. I assume it may have stunted his growth. Now, hopefully the college isn't a complete jerk and they just go, if this is true, this isn't good, and you need to prove to us that you are beyond this, that you're going to soften your delivery. It's not a make or break situation. But this new app is going to allow students to rank their professors. Now, I don't know what their restrictions are. Maybe there's quite a few restrictions with Yelp. You have to be within GPS coordinate range of the restaurant before you check in, but you can go home and put a review in anytime you want. But maybe the kids have to prove that they're a part of the college, that they've actually taken that professor. But imagine all the losers of the world failing the course and then just going in and saying, well, this is a horrible teacher, that's why I failed. Sometimes that's actually the truth. But what has been the current ranking system for teachers prior to a ranking system that's subjective human opinion? We look at the passing grade of the students, because that's all you need to know. If the teacher can engage the students and be dynamic, right? You got the loser kid over here who's being forced in by his parents. He's a rich, snobby little bastard because he's fucking Aventador outside, but he doesn't want to take his homework home. He's coked out of his mind. But everybody else is pretty with it. And if the teacher can change their, you know, they change to try to approach that kid who's a complete loser. And again, if the kid doubles down, triples down on being a loser, then screw him. He moves off and goes to his other world and probably never needs money anyway. But all the other kids graduate and they get fairly decent grades. Then that teacher has a good ranking. So a passing student with a high GPA, grade point average, is going to be the ranking system that we need for a teacher. But they'll sneak it in like that. They'll sneak it in like that so that you have to capitulate down. And I've stood in front of hundreds and hundreds of students. I don't know if I've stood, I probably have stood in front of 1,000 students teaching them. All my private courses I've taught at corporations. But there's always a way to wake up the crowd. There's always a way to be dynamic for folks. There's a way to engage people that are forced to listen to you, who don't want to listen to you. And you get them excited and laughing and make them feel a part of the thing. So there's all kinds of ways to get into it. But they're going to be selling this to us on a bunch of different levels like that. And we're all going to jump on it. And it's going to be a disaster. Because it will eventually end up into the social credit system. Now again, if the government was completely gutted, the swamp was drained, there are no bad folks. And you would literally call any person on the hill a mentor, an inspirational beacon, then you could have this system. But the minute that that starts, those people start to die off, and the ruling class, who are a bunch of, you know, conniving, manipulating devil worshipers, get in there and put their people in there, then immediately the system that was fantastic becomes a system of complete control. And if it's enforced, because there's the first layer of this would be denying you services so you can't legally purchase anything. If you have to eat, someone's going to have to part with their meal and go hungry. One of those kind of situations. That's an extreme example. Hey, but you just wait, man. You give China 10 years of this stuff and there's going to be situations like that. But then if you have a human police force that will come pick you up, which is what China does constantly, right? They harass their people constantly, physically, dragging them into police precincts and, you know, interrogating them for a year, beating them up, stabbing them in the gut with, you know, batons, and it's brutal. And this guy that's in house arrest in this documentary has had that happen to him. He was interrogated 70 times in 365 days. Now, he survived. He's not dead. But they wanted him to confess on a video that what he said about these political officials that are taking bribes was all fake. And so the guy reports the truth. The head of the government wants him to lie to the people to clean his record, right? Think about it. It's a social credit system based on the fact that you're a good person and you don't lie and you're polite to people and all this other stuff. But the government itself makes you cover up crimes so that you can get a good credit system. And if you so much as report the crime, which is what should get you a double point score on this credit system, they want you to double down. And again, it's a good thing they don't believe in God, because if they did, they're sitting there in front of their creator giving, you know what, forcing a guy to give a bad confession so that person's going to have a bad credit rating system with God. And then the person sitting there lying to protect his body and to keep the government going. Man, there's kind of a margin in there. If you can escape the country, you know, what I would do is I'd play that fucking system to the point I got 750. I go on a vacation, I'd never come back. Screw that place. Then there's this third group. Now, there's a piece of news that you should be aware of, which is most of you have probably read, who watch this show, these crazy stabbings that happen in Shanghai. Shanghai's got, you know, a lot of places in China have these big plazas, right? Just tons of concrete, and it's where all the crazy stuff happened in 89. Was it the Beijing massacre and all that? But there's a Turkish group of folks that live in Western China. I don't know their history. But because guns aren't allowed, they have turned to knives. And they have had several like mass stabbings where the Turkish people are frustrated to the point where they just start randomly stabbing people. And I remember this happening like 5 or 10 years ago, and just, I'm really confused. I didn't know anyone was that angry in China, but I talked to the gentleman who just came back from there. He said, oh, those are Turkish people doing that. So he goes, Chinese people hate them, consider them terrorists. And so that explains the second or the third part of this documentary, which is that they addressed a Turkish community that's on the western region. I forgot the name of the town because it's some obscure name that we don't pronounce in America. But what they've done is they've revised the social credit system to be very different. This one town supposedly, I think, got over 100,000 cameras in it, because every nook and cranny of this place is completely photographed. But instead of having the 800-point credit system, they have three levels of credit system, three levels of privilege based on this credit system. You have below average, meaning you're a bad person. Average, which means you just kind of have the basic amenities of life, and then you have above average. If you are Turkish in China, check out this racist shit. You can't achieve above average. You are just permanently racially profiled into average. Who gets above average in these Turkish communities? Well, the Chinese folks that live there who keep the Turkish people under lock and guard, right? They have a Gestapo around the Jewish camps, basically, is what's going on here. And there are all around this western region, as tracked by, believe it or not, the UN through spy satellites, there are all these prisons everywhere. And all these Turkish people are like, yeah, our relatives are being captured in the middle of the night and taken away, and we never see them again. And the rumor is they're dying in these concentration camp prisons, just like North Korea. North Korea is supposedly an axis of evil until they shuttle this crap down. China's got preferred trading status because of Bill Clinton. Now that Trump is trying to get them to pay their fair share, he's an asshole to all these liberals, right? So who knows who drew the first blood? Maybe the Turkish people have been completely rude to the Chinese people from the very get-go. Maybe the Chinese people tried to control the Turkish regions, which then set off this first blood where they're like, we will destroy you, blah, blah, blah. Hey, the Chinese haven't completely genocided the Turkish people in Western China. So there's kind of doing something there. But the bottom line is that China is its own country and they're very, very different than us. We like to think that people can be just like us, but perhaps they can't. But the problem is if they get this system working perfectly in their country and they can repress everything. We already know they censor the internet. And, you know, I kind of have a mixed feeling about that because we know that America is lied to by every single press agency out there, including Fox News. It's all fake, people. Does some truth slip through? Sure. If it doesn't matter, it slips through. Who cares? You know, someone of royalty had a baby. Oh, let's put that on the front page of every newspaper because they're special human beings that we need to worship still, right? Yeah, those babies do exist. But who's bad and who's good, who's corrupt, who's not corrupt, all that's fake. All the narratives and agendas that they're trying to push on us are coming in through fake organizations. So China may just be saying, look, we want to control the fake news. We want to control the propaganda. I haven't talked to a single citizen of China that thinks that the news that they get is anything other than propaganda. You know, they read it because what else are you going to do? You got to try to find some sort of, you got to try to sift through the information to find out what's going on in a particular country. At the same time, some things I love about China is that they do have this prioritization for family. I mean, obviously they know how to procreate really, really well. their population is expanding like crazy. And because they've got the horrible Social Security system that we have. Like, Social Security has to be outlawed and turned into some other mechanism because it promotes population explosion. You have to have more kids at the bottom paying a fraction of the amount of money that they pay, a tax, to pay for all of the folks at the top who are older. So China just released this myth that they kill every child after the firstborn, which has been a lie since the very beginning, because they don't have enough people to pay for the older folks. I think Japan has the same thing, but Japan is depopulating for the same reasons that a lot of countries in the first world sector are depopulating, because girls and guys are figuring out they want a destiny more than they want a whole house full of children. So if we're lucky, they might have one or two kids, either reducing or maintaining the population worldwide. Now, one of the reasons why I'm taking a fairly forceful tact in this particular episode towards China is that we need to do this with every single country that exists on planet Earth. And have a very frank, sort of the whole idea, except for one, with one exception, that the Bilderberg meeting came up with in 1954 in the Bilderberg Hotel in Holland. Their whole thing was, we need to put everyone in a non-transcribed room where everyone can say what they feel, because this is where we get down to brass tacks and actually make progress. It's Jack Welch's, like, his book, like the third chapter or something, about being candid. It's very important you can speak your mind, because if we don't, we're going to sit around doing the wrong thing for a really long time while everyone gets their shit together. When you have the most people in your country, or you have the biggest country on planet Earth, you've got extra responsibilities and need to hear some frank talk. When you're one of the biggest polluters in the world, it doesn't matter if global warming is fake or real, that crap should be ejected into the air. Period. Toxic waste should not be dumped into rivers and oceans that is then going to diffuse and spread all over the world, polluting fish very close by in the Japanese seas and all that stuff. Remember, bluefish tuna goes in a gigantic Pacific Rim routine. It goes all the way over to Japan, China. It swims all the way down to places like Hawaii. Comes all the way over to Mexico. Goes all the way up the coast. And someone's catching that stuff, cutting it up, and serving it to you as sushi. You don't test it for precious metals, and no one else does. But the FDA, has said several times, and used to have a calculator of the sushi that was super bad for you. And it was like, you know, one serving of tuna sushi, bluefin tuna sushi, was just horrid for your brain. Putting mercury in your brain for the rest of your life. Remember, mercury removes the coax around your neurons, and then your neurons die because they're being eaten up by the normal immune system in your brain. Because there's no protection there. Now, largely in 2019, America has changed a lot of policies that have been pissing off the entire world. Like, one, leaving the Middle East almost entirely. Demanding the fair share of tariffs and what have you, exports and imports. That's a good sign. Limiting all these aids and crazy packages to warlords and intelligence agencies that are stealing the money once it gets donated to a particular country. So those things are good. So hopefully we're on the right track here, as long as we can keep all the good people alive and get all these swamp rats the hell out of the country. But okay, so let's take this as, let me switch your mind over to an investor mind and look at the social credit system. The social credit system operates on a few pieces of technology and then a bunch of indoctrination. The indoctrination is the easiest part. The hardest part, which isn't that hard anymore, is to come up with, and Apple's contributing to this in a big way and forcing the rest of the tech industry to say they got the buzzword, which is horrible, which is face recognition stuff. When you look at your phone, it checks your face. I mean, how fucking stupid are you to allow that shit to be on your phone? Facebook. it's a intelligence DARPA platform to steal your face. That's why Zuckerberg is a part of the Five Eyes, or at least he wishes he was. But this is a technology platform. You've got a cloud server, which just basically means a server hooked to the internet. It's in some warehouse somewhere. And all the data is coming to that particular data center to be processed. It's fairly quick. So cameras are all over the geographical locations. They want them inside the homes as well as outside the homes. It'll take a while to get them inside the homes. But TVs have cameras. game consoles have cameras, your phones have cameras, your computers have cameras. So there's a shit ton of cameras in your house constantly. In a free country, they're not supposed to look at that stuff, even though they do from time to time. But in a communistic, socialistic country, they just have to say this is what the case is, and you got no choice in it. So, sorry, fella. Freedom was just something you'll never know about until you nut up and put some heads on pikes. But they're going to get this system completely honed out over the next 10 years, and then what? It's going to be a turnkey system for other countries to control their people. I think Chile's on the list, too, of countries that are turning this kind of stuff on. And so you might not have the first world countries jump in next, but I wouldn't put it past anyone in the EU. Anyone who's for the EU is probably for the social credit system and wants to live in a tyrannical world. They just do, because they're just absolute intellectual losers, right? But third world countries, they're all dictatorships. And so they just have their overlord presidents say this is the way it is. They divert all that money, and believe me, you're going to have world banking systems loan countries whatever amount of money it takes to get them under this social credit system once it's turnkeyed out of China. You could expect over the next 5 to 10 years, if we don't shut down these liberal press organizations, and we can hope, right? CNN's laying off people. But if we can't completely bankrupt them or put them in jail because of the FARA violations, F-A-R-A, look it up, then they're going to continue to promote these success stories in China as a result of this social credit system. And so you're going to have a bunch of people rah-rahing the whole thing. See how great their world is? They have no corruption anymore. No one ever kills anybody anymore. No one rapes anybody anymore. And everyone's just living on fucking eggshells constantly, right? I want to bring you back to the Twilight Zone, where the little boy could wish people into the cornfield. It was the kid from Lost in Space who was the main actor, and he played a 7-year-old kid, and the kid just nailed this role. I mean, he's in a few Twilight Zones. But the world had turned into this place where this little boy had been born with superpowers, and in his superpowers, whatever he thought in his mind could happen. And because he's a child, he hated the rest of the world, and so as the episode starts, there's no other place but his town. That's it. Most of the people are gone because at one point they pissed him off. And so he does what is called wishing them into the cornfield, which means he turns them into a monster first, he punishes them, and then the adults, his father and his mother, say, you know, that's really good what you did. Please wish him into the cornfield now. And everyone is walking around eggshells around this kid, because if they so much as piss him off, he mutates them, kills them, or mutates them at least, and sticks them in the cornfield. That is the world that China is headed towards. Everyone on eggshells. And if someone just so much as gets this, I mean, imagine this being offended bullshit that's out there. I made an episode on it, right? Being offended is extorting emotion out of another human being. It's one of the most vile, reprehensible behaviors that man can impose on man. Being offended is a bunch of bullshit. You're either angry or you're happy with someone's dialogue towards you. And then you have to self-assess and say, am I being sensitive, or is this person really being a racist or a jerk or whatever? If anything, you're learning about the other person and not about yourself, if anything. As long as you can recognize and empathize with someone being upset for a day because something else is going wrong in their life, maybe you go, well, what's wrong? You know, you're yelling at me in a weird way. You never done that before. Or you're yelling at me in such a way that I don't think you could probably live day to day like this. So what's wrong? But instead of that, we get offended, and it's always, you know, between couples, it's I get a massage, I get dinner, I get a diamond ring, or I get this or that or this. It's extorting shit out of people. Now, some people jerks, yeah, they are. They need to have the other thing, just an absolute, you know, disciplinary situation occur. But if you're in this social credit system, someone just has to have a day where they're going to play the system. How many people go into companies. I mean, in the Bay Area, it was a big deal. We had people would go in and claim sexual harassment, even though nothing ever happened. One of the women at Electronic Arts walked into a cube once and saw a Sports Illustrated calendar shot, and it had the bottom part of this woman's breasts revealed in her cutoff tank top. She sued the company for almost $1 million. It's a fucking calendar you can buy at the grocery store. It's not hidden in the Playboy section. So she had such a bad self-image of herself, she wanted to punish women that take care of their bodies. And she sued a third party for agreeing with that mentality. My girlfriend worked at a company where a woman came in, got this job, never worked a day in her life at the place. And then when they tried to fire her, she claimed racism because she wasn't white. She tries to sue them, and then this company was smart enough to check her whole background out, and she had worked at Microsoft before she worked at this other company in the Bay Area. They found out that she had sued them for the exact same thing, and then they took it one step further and found out that she completely lied about her credentials and she didn't have a computer science degree. So why was she not working? Because she didn't know what the hell she was doing in the first place. But she was a good manipulator of the system. But there's a ton of people like this in the world that want to gank the system. They don't want to work like the rest of us. And so when the social credit system is attached to the world, oh, they might do their job. But they always want to siphon a little bit out of the system, or they hate themselves, so they got to hurt other people with the social credit system. Hopefully the system has a little regulator in place that says if you're constantly reporting other people to be negative, maybe it starts to look at you. I don't know. But the funny thing about this, the interesting thing about this, is I've seen a couple documentaries about the people that work for the government walking around China already. One of them I saw, it was just a woman with a clipboard. And imagine that. Here comes the goddamn Gestapo, man, with their clipboard. Looking at you. It's like being in basic training. You know, your sergeant's trying to get you to dress properly and put your stuff where it's supposed to be and have your shirt tucked in and your bed made and all that kind of stuff. That has a purpose. You're being a soldier. You're being trained to be responsible and to pay attention to detail, because those are life and death qualities that you'll need on the battlefield, right? This chick's walking around with a clipboard, and she is in control, baby. You're like, oh, hi, Miss So-and-so. How are you? Oh, we're in a twilight zone now. It's good that you did that. It's good that you reported that. If the insanity of this fucking system isn't dawning on you, then push rewind until it does. Like I always tell you on this show, the ruling class of the world is constantly hatching this shit. Constantly up our ass trying to find a way to screw us over. And that's why we have to care. And that's why we have to keep our mind open, because they're never going to stop until they are literally genocided off this planet. Those people who do that must have their DNA fucking put on a spaceship. As one of my friends in Hollywood said, mail their DNA to the sun and have it just obliterated. And this is why I think Deep Thoughts Radio is actually very special. Because I go out there and I see that, you know, I see those channels out there with millions of subscribers. It's all ass-kissing channels out there where no one's, everyone's like, oh, I can't say, you know, H-E double hockey sticks, you know, and it's like, really? Is the world made out of that fucking childish way of communicating? No. We're talking about the world is sort of like the wild, wild west. It's a brawl, you know, baby, and it's like, you know, it would be like, you know, you take a millennial and the skinny jeans and the capri pants and the big beard and the old fucking 70s glasses. And you say, okay, I'm going to give you a time machine. Where do you want to go? Well, I think I'd like to go back to the Wild West. Oh, really? Where'd you like to go? Well, I think I'd try like to go to Dodge City or Deadwood or Tombstone or something like that. Because just to see what it's like. And then, because I think I can fix all this stuff. And you're like, oh, really? Okay. You want a sidearm or something? No, I don't believe in guns. Oh, okay. All right. So, kid goes to Dodge City, Kansas, pops through those saloon doors in some fashion or former fashion. And immediately gets himself in trouble. He's too soft, right? He's got the assless chaps on. And, you know, somebody says, you know, get out of here, you know, I'm going to shoot you or whatever. And they, oh, guys, you just don't understand. Let's love each other. And these guys are like, here's a couple holes in your body. Boom, boom, boom. You can't fight fire with good intentions. You can't. What's absolutely phenomenal to me in this day and age, in 2019, if you really think about it, this social credit system is going to take off in China. It's already done. It's going to be mandatory by the government, I think, by 2020, which is like a few months away, right? I mean, it's like, what, 8 months away? 7 months away? As of this recording? Pretty fascinating, isn't it? We are going to have, I mean, put it this way. We've lived through Mussolini. We've lived through Hitler. We've lived through just tons of dictators. If you keep going back on world history, I mean, there's just tons of crazy slave labor societies that we've had, America back in the day. And so we've seen all these archetypes before, these horrible events in history. And so the social credit system being launched in China is sort of like watching the next version of this tyrannical crap right in front of our face, as if it's not actually happening. And for the folks that can't be bothered with progress because their life is so important, that, you know, it's like the never-ending story, the nothingness that's coming at them. They're just not paying attention to it, because if they feel like they don't pay attention to it, it's not happening. If they close their eyes, no one can see them. That sort of mentality, right? Until eventually they're absolutely overwhelmed by it, they're destroyed by it, their lives are, you know, their kids. I mean, how many adults right now in China are going to go along with this? And all these cops in China, man. I don't know if it's a low IQ thing or if it's just a terrorist thing where they're afraid, because there's always one guy that will do what the government says, and so one cop goes along with it because the cop next to him will blow his brains out if he doesn't go along with it. You know, they got some brutal prisons in China. Brutal. And yeah, you won't catch me in China anytime soon. Especially after this video airs. I don't need to leave America. I'm fine. I think until the Five Eyes are completely poked out, you got to be careful traveling around the world, depending on what you say. How do you stop it? How do you put a hole in this, right? I think that exposing all of the algorithms for people already being repressed by it is probably the number one thing. But again, you know, it's just like when I asked my buddy in the UK, I said, you know, how is it that you guys have universal health care and your public accepts it, and then in America it's so horrible right away that we just know that we've been had, you know? And he said, look, we got ours right after World War II. And the politicians weren't as corrupt back then as they are today. And so even our system screwed up and we're getting rid of it. For me, the correlation is almost exactly the same. China has not proven that it can create a lawful, you know, greater good layers of leadership. You know, our president says, you know, good things about China. And, you know, he has to, man. But he would totally redo China. It would be a completely different country if our leadership went over there and said, look, by the way, you have a constitution now. You got a First Amendment and a Second Amendment. That's the first two things you have. And then we're going to give you the right not to harbor soldiers in your house. You're not going to have, you're going to have no eavesdropping. You're going to have right to due process and expedient process. You can't be held out forever. No double jeopardy, et cetera, down the line. Like, the first half of our Constitution is pretty much what most countries need to have a lot of amazing progress. Because luckily in the world, other than, you know, what is it, Libya and in Egypt, where you can buy people again. Unbelievable. It's human trafficking. The second you can sell a human being for labor, it's human trafficking. That's still going on in this world. But I would implore you to bring this particular conversation up to every single human being you can bring it up to, even to teenagers. You know, you decide when they're capable of truly understanding what's going on. But you have to mention the fact that the dissent that we inspire in our citizens in the United States of America to say that something is wrong is the backbone that is being broken by a social credit system. It becomes an enforceable penalty against citizens who have a social credit system. Human beings have a social credit system, like the woman in China said, the very first one, who's trying to appease her handlers, who lives in probably a state of fear worse than the other two guys. The one guy that escaped the country now lives, I believe, in California, I think. But then the second guy that's in house arrest, he at least has been true to his soul. When he meets his creator, he doesn't have to apologize for anything. But the first girl is like, you know, desperately trying to follow the rules so that she gets a high credit system. They said that her husband actually has a higher credit rating than she has. She has a 753, I believe. And he's got even higher, which 800, I guess, is the very top. How lucky are they? You surrender your very humanity so that you can do what? Have a child and raise them into an inhumane world. Because that was their big thing, is I want my kid to have access to great schools and great this and that. Because, again, the country is extorting privilege, you know, freedomless privilege, if you comply with a draconian world that is whatever they want for that particular day. But let's take it a step further. Right now, China is experiencing some pretty interesting transformations, becoming more independent. People are demanding higher wages. Hopefully that continues. I mean, whatever they need for their particular areas, whatever they need. They don't need our wage bracket. If they can live for less, then great. They don't need as much money, whatever. It's all proprietary. It's not, it's very localized, right? But so they turn this thing on, and then the government has an idea. We want more power. We want to do more stuff that's completely illegal. And slowly but surely, they erode the quality that is the social rating system, the credit system, right? Now it's like, well, you have to let a politician have your child for an evening. Otherwise, your credit rating goes down. And that sounds insane, right? And maybe that is a complete extreme thing that'll never happen over there. But they could. They could. And if you tried to fight back, they just take your credit rating system and zero that shit out. And you have no privileges. And then what do you do? Make the decision? I mean, what do you try to do? They know you're going to try to escape the country. Everything is so computerized. If you move through the town again, in, you know, you'd have to leave your cell phone behind, and that's going to show criminal intent, because if the cell phone's always moving and it doesn't move anymore, and the people that are carrying it don't match the physical profile that's attached to the face recognition of the phone, they're going to know someone else is trying to throw them off the scent. Anywhere you go in the world, if you covered your face, they'd be on you in 2 seconds. If your face recognizes, they'd be on you in 2 seconds. You're totally a rat in a cage. Now take it 30, 40 years up where we have robots as cops. Straight up THX-1138 robots. It's not quite the fascist, bald-headed, wearing white sheet world, but they put that on top of it. Because maybe, you know, Boston Dynamics figures out the robot. China just buys a shit ton of them. Or Japan does it. Or Korea does it. South Korea, where all these robots are being built. And they just put that layer on top. And now you don't need to worry about a cop having a moral fiber, because it's all robots having the moral fibers. In fact, they could potentially erase all their cops. Get rid of them. One robot cop could take out, you know, however many people they've got rounds in their little guns or whatever. You know, I mean, it's like, brace yourself. This is the first layer on the layer cake of complete and utter dystopian tyranny. So the good thing is that we're ahead of this curve in terms of figuring this stuff out. They haven't even made it mandatory. Well, it seems like it's mandatory, but they haven't made it mandatory to exist in China just yet. That's a little less than a year away. And we can already start having the discussion in our countries. Now, I just released an episode last week called Exponential Change. And that is about the idea that robots are coming to replace a lot of our jobs. Artificial intelligence is going to replace a few of the jobs. And so we're going to have to figure out whether or not we can allow that to happen, or whether or not we can, I mean, literally, we are a species on this planet. We can't engage in exercises of replacing humanity without thinking about whether or not it's the right thing to do versus the capable thing to do, which is like the Twilight Zone I mentioned in the episode. One of the perspectives I push forward, which may, some of you will jump on this right away and you'll get it, and others will roll their eyes, but it's one of these things of, in the eyes of God, how is this all perceived? And even if God is just a figment of our imagination, or if God is us, this notion that you've got a human right next to me, right here, whatever age, typically older, but whatever, right here next to me, and somehow that human being has more rights than I do, we know that's complete and utter bullshit right from the very beginning. That human being has the rights to instill control over me is insane. It's not the way this world should ever work. Now, that's if I'm a law-abiding, you know, do no harm, which is the law I'm talking about here. I'm doing no harm to anyone in my life. Construed any way, shape you want to construe harm, I am not in any of the algorithms. I don't burden people with spending their money to take care of me. I don't borrow things and, you know, don't bring them back. I mean, I don't even borrow. I mean, I don't do anything but try to help people around the world, period. That's all I ever do. Okay, so I'm clean for the most part. But the lazy of the world create this system of needing human beings to be in control of them. And most of it has to do with a lack of education. And maybe there's a genetic intelligence that makes this happen. It does seem like there's gigantic regions of the world that have, you know, like the Russians, for instance, God bless them, and they're not this way today. So what I'm saying is an old thing. But you go back 100 years, and the Russians would always go send off to the Europeans to provide a czar to run Russia, because they thought they didn't have the native bloodline to run their country. They didn't have that bloodline that knew how to do it. And there's probably more than 100 years back. But once they got Lenin and Stalin, and, you know, Khrushchev and all these guys, all the way up to Putin, they realized they had the genetic. They can do it. And Putin has done amazing things for that country. Heard an article that said he was worth $200 billion or $300 billion. That kind of makes sense to me. He's worked his ass off. So today it's not a big necessity, and Russia found out they didn't need to subjugate themselves to European control. Well, what's happening in China is sort of the same thing. They don't think that they can control their country with their human brains. They can't control it, so they've got to create a machine world on top of themselves to control themselves. Now here's the rub that we don't talk about, because it's sort of unpopular to say these sorts of things. And I would say what I'm about to say about China is something that we could apply to every country, including every first world country in the United States of America. So don't take personal offense to this. But China is a big piece of land, and they have people that are all levels of different sophistication and intellectuality. That doesn't mean spirituality. Spiritually, you might have a farmer that knows nothing more than how to make, you know, how to grow rice for the country. And that guy or gal might have more spiritual brilliance than President Xi, the ruler of the country, the forever president of the country. Putin's the same way, right? But people sitting in Shanghai or Beijing or even Hong Kong, now that's been recaptured, they're looking at these beautiful sky rises and this amazing technology that they have. And Hong Kong's completely different. I mean, it's light years ahead of the rest of the country. But someone might be sitting at the top of the country and saying, look, man, we got to get everybody on the same page, man. And we can't just go to the farmer and say, you need to be educated up to this level. You have to have a bare minimum of this education, which really is ridiculous. And I don't even know that that's even occurring. But someone might say, to balance everybody in the country, we're going to have a more brute force policy on top of the citizens, such that this can get all unified. So we can approach our citizens in one voice and everybody gets it. Because if you've got people in the Stone Ages in your country, as well as people sitting on the very precipice of technology, doing great things for the rest of the world, and China is doing some really cool things for the rest of the world in some fashion. They're mostly, you know, they take other people's ideas and they generate them, but they're starting to create their own ideas now, and I can't wait for them to get clear up to the point where they're demanding freedom and looking at these cameras and just, I mean, I hope that one day there's just a frenzy to destroy all the cameras in China. I do. Sorry, guys. So it might be that China feels like they have to do something that wouldn't be appropriate for the rest of the world, but it's appropriate for them. And so I'm trying to be sensitive to that as well. But the journalist that reports on crime and bribery, which is something everyone knows about, it's okay. Like, again, they don't mind if you know about it. They just don't want you to mess with it, right? It's like what Alex Jones said a long time ago. He said, look, you can watch the poker game of life. All these elite people messing around with everyone's lives, destroying lives and all that kind of stuff. And you can call them names all you want, and they'll just laugh and go, yeah, it's like that aristocrat joke, you know? Call them anything you want. They love it. But if you reveal a card such that someone else beats somebody else or you mess up their game in general, that's when they stop the game. And everybody looks at you, and you cease to exist. They get you out of their algorithm. You are eliminated. And so I think that's very, very true for the world. The ruling class don't care unless you make a difference. And that's why the 17 movement gets attacked so much online. This is the end of the deep state. This is the end of the Five Eyes. This is the end of tyranny on planet Earth. Because once this experiment happens with the internet to spread the news, I dare say it'll be a really hard thing for all these corrupt factions to continue to exist. Because what we are doing inadvertently or intentionally is we're trying to make all of the bad people in the world stick out like a sore thumb. Because everyone else has adopted a more free-spirited world. Now, before I close here, I have to admit that, and I think someone's asked me this in the comments a long time ago, but there's this whole thing about filming public places. Not filming your backyard, not filming inside your house and your private businesses, but filming any public place, a street, a parking garage, someplace that's public, and then using that as information to track down criminals. We now have a lot of cameras inside cars, which reduces the insurance policies. And so I watch them all the time. You know, I get bored, I'll put those on at the lounge. I'm just kind of programmed watching these accident compilations because it's fascinating to see sort of what are the species of accidents that we have in various parts of the world because they're very different. Russia can't turn left without killing people. It's crazy. America, we're texting and driving off the fucking road. It's crazy. But there's a lot of hit and runs caught on these cameras. And what's funny about these cameras is they're catching these guys red-handed. There's no litigation in court as to who's responsible, except for someone could maybe say, I wasn't driving the car. And then you grab the cell phone, GPS, and you're like, yes, you were in that car. But you can only subpoena the phone records because the car license plate matches the owner of the car. The owner of the car is going to be responsible for the accident if they can't find the driver. I had a friend of mine loan his car off to a buddy, and he did a hit and run. And my friend wouldn't turn his buddy in, and he lost his license for a year and had the strike on his license for hit and run when he wasn't even in the car, right? And so there's this thing of like, well, it's an incredible service for the justice system of the world to have everything recorded in the public. You know, we've had these horrific kidnappings, you know, the one that's burning in my mind is some guy grabbed a girl's hand. She's walking home from school and she's walking by a gas station and this creep just walked up to her and grabbed her hand. And she kind of pulled away from him for a little bit, but then she just sort of went with him and she ended up dead somewhere. But because they had that guy's face on camera, at least we know who did it. Now, that's trying to solve the symptom and not the cause, right? The cause is that we've got a bunch of fucked up people who watch too much goddamn porn and turn into these goddamn rapists because they just developed this need for sex and they don't get their life together because they have a bad education or they're just weird sociopaths, and so they take it. And then they punish girls because normal girls wouldn't hang out with the weirdo. So solving the problem of being a weirdo, solving the problem of demoralizing our society, which is the liberal agenda. Just go look at TMZ, man. They worship every vile fucking behavior on planet Earth. That is the whole agenda of the left. It's that, you know, we're free, man. We can do whatever you want. I want to sleep with your kid. Oh, no? Well, okay, I'll steal him then, you know. And then all these corrupt law enforcement people and government officials will protect me in court. So it's a two-step process. Unfortunately, we do have to go for the symptom and not the cause. So cameras in the public, well, it's sort of one of these unfortunate solutions because we've lost control of our own country, you know, or at least in the United States, and I'm sure other countries could benefit from this. The amount of video cameras inside of businesses in China that I've seen, and this happens everywhere, it's not just China, but they're starting to solve this problem a little bit. And we have it in the United States all the time, which is really, there's some funny algorithms where these guys come into stores and they're trying to hold up a cell phone repair place. You know, any place that's got a kind of a cash-based business, which blows my mind there's any cash that's worth stealing anywhere. But these thugs will come in there. In fact, last one I saw was in America, but these two thugs come in, they try to hold up this guy. The guy's like, hey man, you can have everything. Let me just leave. The guy walks out the back door, hits the security button, which locks the gate on the front. So the back is locked, the front is locked, and these guys are on video camera, screwed out of their mind, right? They can't escape the place. Then a bunch of people, for the last one I saw, they were all piled up outside looking in the window with all the cage bars, you know. And these two dudes are like trying to get the door open. They're trying to take things and crowbar it open, you know, but nothing's really a crowbar, so they can't get the door open. They're begging to be let go. And the second guy's just like, we're screwed, man, we're screwed. And he's just kind of sitting around. They both know they're going to jail for armed robbery. Maybe even attempted murder charge, who knows? Then you got the scumbags that walk into places. I mean, these fucking draconian, or just Neanderthal, I should say, individuals that walk into convenience stores and just shoot the person behind the counter. That person would have given them every dime in the whole place, but they start off with capital punishment, with a full-blown first-degree murder charge, because they're idiots. I mean, they're just morons, right? So we got them on tape, and now we can put them in jail. Again, with cell phone tracking, car tracking, all this other stuff, we can find criminals. So do we keep a part of this technology to assist law enforcement? You know, I guess in this day and age, the answer is probably yes. And I know what gun control people are saying, you know, that's because you have legal guns. You know, you Americans are so stupid. It's like, okay, I'm watching this shit in China too, man. And guns are illegal in China. But somehow there's no shortage of guns over there. So that's not going to work. You have to educate people really early in life. Really early in life. So if a government wants to impose certain behaviors on folks, it's raise your goddamn kids. You know, if you're caught having a kid and you try to run away from the family, maybe your prison sentence is to go through parent training and be forced to raise your child. There's no jail sentence. You've just got to nut up and take care of that kid. Next time you have sex, you're really thinking about the rest of your life. Is it really that, you know, that much of a necessity? Maybe you get your tubes tied or, you know, whatever you need to do. So in my opinion, this social credit system is a big boy conversation that we're not willing to have because, again, we're so repressed by all this HEL double hockey stick bullshit delivery of things, right? I just recently saw this. Let me just further that. We're going to disengage from the credit rating system thing. And there was a video leaked about Joe Biden. He was at a fundraiser, I think, in 2006 or 7, somewhere in there. He's trying to raise money for the presidential run with he and Obama. And he's in this room. You can't understand everything he's saying, but a bunch of it you can. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs about the issues that he's passionate about. It's actually if the guy was a good guy and he wasn't a pedophile touching children and stuff, then it would have been a really good campaign thing for him back in the day. But he's sitting there saying, he's talking about the problem with the border in Mexico, and he is letting it loose, man. He is yelling, and he is saying, look, we have a country that is very wealthy, but it's only in the 1%. We have metric tons of cocaine and marijuana and heroin coming across the border, and we need to build a wall. And he says in this thing, he would build a 700-mile wall. Ask him today if he would support the wall. Of course not. So he's a two-faced fucking liar, right? I mean, the guy is like, he brags about all these laws that he was, you know, contributing to as a senator. He brags about knowing everyone in the world because he's been in office for 40 goddamn years. And he says, I'll get things done because I know who to call. It's funny that none of that shit happened on his watch, even though Obama said we had a crisis at the border and we had to build a wall. Just amazing how these people talk out of their ass, and then when they get elected, you get to see what kind of scumbags they are. And they never come in and say, well, you know, I thought we had to do a wall, but then I had this specific thing explained to me, which I'm going to share with you, and it changed my mind. Let me know if it changes your mind, and then we can all have an intelligent conversation, but we don't. But one of the other tactics, at least from the left right now, is that you have people that passively aggressively threaten you from your position, trying to scare you away from being logical. And I just saw it in this, believe it or not, Fox piece, you know, and again, please understand, I'm not swayed by any fake press organization. But you had a guy from the right on this side and a guy from the left on this side with the host in the middle. And the woman was the host and she was tossing it back and forth, doing a really good job at it. And the guy from the left, the guy from the right went first. And he was just mentioning some basic low-hanging fruit things that we know are happening and with this declassification of the Mueller, you know, investigation, all the treasonistic shit that's gone on in the background. And, of course, the guy on the left side of the politics, he then on air threatens the guy on the right and says, you better take back what you said. Being a fucking bully right on air. And of course, he's a big giant pussy in the first place, right? He's just some spokesman who's paid to, you know, go around threatening people. And of course, the guy on the right doesn't back down because he knows he's right. And this is sort of what the world's devolved down to. President Trump was up talking about the new farm bill, $19 billion farm bill, which has got a bunch of other things in it as well. And the subject of declassification came up, the subject of the fact that this is going to reveal members of the intelligence agency and potentially the DOJ that have acted in, mostly the intelligence agency, who have acted in a treasonous manner. And so one of the leftist press agents gets a question in and starts to threaten the president that what he's saying is, you know, punishable by death, because treason is punishable by death. Are you sure you want to use the word treason? Trying to make the president back down from something he's already analyzed. You think this guy's going to say treason and accuse someone of being it? Because he starts naming names, man. Ooh, it was awesome. And Trump just looks at this guy and he's like, you know, in one way or another, he's like, fuck you, man. I know what I'm talking about. You're some piddly squat piece of shit leftist journalist who's probably violated a FARA Act in your lifetime, publishing foreign articles and not telling the State Department you're doing so to sway the opinion of the American people through foreign propaganda. That's what kind of person you are. You know, I'm a person who's for the American people and really sort of for the entire world, but we got to start somewhere. And he didn't back down. I'm not sure any president would back down in that situation, but this is clearly someone in the right and clearly someone in the wrong. I mention this because this is the basis that we have to have for having these conversations. We have to be honest with each other about what's going on this planet. Because, and let me say this, it's probably way too late in this episode to say this, but the idea is someone could be brutally honest with me back. and change my mind. Like I said, look, maybe China needs to do these things because they've got an issue that we don't understand. It's never been communicated to the rest of the world. Maybe they have huge behavioral problems that we don't know about. But again, this turns into a turnkey system. It's going to be in your backyard before you know it. It's a fact that in 2016-17, you have the corrupt factions in the FBI, the James Comeys, the Brand, was it Bannon? Clapper, maybe even Mueller, but definitely McCabe and Strzok and the whole Hillary Foundation, all her people in her campaign, the DNC, and the President of the United States, Barack Obama, Barry Santoros, right? Conspired in a treasonistic fashion, it would seem, to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president. And then after he became president, they had their quote-unquote insurance policy, which was in the text messages between Strzok and Page, that they were going to engage in treasonistic behavior to overthrow the vote of the American people. You know, the vote in any country, I don't care what country you're in, is the most sacred thing that you can potentially give your life for. The Democrats are right now, boldface, right in your face, corrupting the value of that thing. Every single, we're about to go through our, is it Memorial Day weekend here? We're going to celebrate the soldiers that have given their lives to preserve the Constitution of the United States. And at the same time, you have a political party saying that they are going to take a piss on every single one of these graves because what they died for isn't important. That illegal immigrants can vote in this country. Illegal fucking people in this country can vote. They're being given Social Security cards and driver's license to walk into voting booths. In fact, last time I voted, they didn't want any identification. This white old lady, I don't need any of that, I don't want any of that. As if it's like, oh, so you think you're some liberal that wants to make sure all the illegal fucking immigrants walk in and vote 10 times. They don't fucking care. People who have migrated here are welcome to vote one time in their local district. I support them 1,000%. And if their vote is different than mine, so be it. That's the way the system works. My team doesn't always win every single time. But people that are running away from their country instead of fighting for it, no thanks, man. If you're not willing to fight for your own country, you sure as hell ain't fighting for my country. So this is one of those hardcore episodes that we have to do every once in a while. Again, I don't like going out on these limbs, but you know what? It's all about having skin in the game. That episode is recorded already. Maybe I'll get that one out before I put this one out. Let me know what you think in the comments. Let me know what you think we could do to fix this thing. What sort of catchphrase that we can create that goes to the heart of man to make sure that the words that we pick and a statement that we might say in meme form, in conversation, like the things that people say to become alcoholics. Well, life's too short, man. No one gets out of this place alive, so I'm going to become an alcoholic and a meth addict because, fuck, man, I can't think of anything else better to do with my life, right? Those kind of phrases that take people down dark paths, we need those exact phrases for the good path of life. If you've got stories inside China that are like, yeah, this thing is turning on, but there's this other movement going on that's counteracting that, let me know that. If you know something about a reason why you think they need to have this, that's not applicable to the rest of the world, please let me know that. If you know where this is happening in other parts of the world, other rating systems against human beings, from human beings to human beings, like the one for the professors, let me know what you think about that. If you've had this conversation several times with your family members or friends and you're finding some weird empathy for this situation, let me know about that. If we're talking about people that don't like it, let me know about that. We need to advance this conversation and boil it down to its very essence so we can control it. No man has authority over another man. And that's just the way it works. As long as you adhere to do no harm, you're not hurting anybody else, then good. Then you should be left alone. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. It's where you can find the audio version of the show, the video version of the show. We have a locked Facebook group with some of the coolest people on planet Earth. We have a Twitter account, which merely debuts the URLs as they become available. There's two ways to contribute to the show. The monthly version is Patreon. If you contribute to Patreon, you will get a VIP pass to the episodes before they release. If you, no one's ever donated to the PayPal thing, even though that people want that to happen. I don't know what I'll do with that, and we'll see if I can't find people's email addresses, and I'll just send them to you. There's a link to the all-new remastered Season 1. BitChute is also coming online. Season 1 is less dramatic. What's kind of funny about Season 1 is that, and I've said this once before, is that it's going to be sort of the reflection season to say, I dig all the other seasons, but I want to get back to the fundamentals of how to improve my life for me. And that's what Season 1 is really aimed at initially, is just a bunch of self-improvement things. Not all of them, but a lot of them will help you kind of manage your mind and your soul according to your standards, but it will highlight the issues that you can make the decisions about. So just know, if you're lost in life, especially, like you want a better career, you want to rearrange your life a little bit, Season 1 is your best friend. 2, 3, 4 is going to be, you know, conspiracies and all that kind of fun stuff. There's a little bit of that in Season 1, but not a ton. But until the next episode, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.